Shetler. He's presenting about implementing flexible payouts with Drupal. And that's the last talk, sadly, for today. So have fun and enjoy.
And it won't last 2 hours, definitely not. So don't expect me to bore you this long. Well, basically, I think I should just start, with this agenda. I tell you a bit about me and why I'm actually here. I'm definitely not one of the core team, so everything you listened to this morning and maybe even yesterday was from this group of divine people that actually do Drupal 6. I'm one of the poor consumers who's still implementing on Drupal 5, but I've tried to sort of set up my my little demonstration on Drupal 6 and failed. So at one point or the other, I'm actually asking for help on porting stuff to Drupal 6, and maybe I find somebody here. Actually, so you probably know everything about Drupal, so I skip rather quickly about on over that one. Then a brief introduction into theming, and actually the gist of what I'm talking about is how to use Drupal for rather flexible layouts. The background for this talk really is the project we're currently doing, and it went through one or two evolutionary steps, but I'm presenting my current thinking here. So that everybody can get up to speed, I'm presenting Drupal theming before actually diving into the very details. So why I'm doing a Drupal project is basically I earn my my living with it, not just doing Drupal projects, but it's one of the CMSs that we use as Conterre. And Drupal has always been fun, and hopefully with Drupal 6 it's going to be even more fun. So I'm looking forward to actually port the little modules that I've contributed to the project to Drupal 6, and I'm looking forward to doing productive projects with it, which currently I don't do actually, because it's a bit far off trying to keep stay up to speed. And actually the very kind lecturer of this book me and Friedrich Stahl are currently writing, and which is already complete for Drupal 5, now needs a little update to actually get up to speed with Drupal 6 to be worth it once you want to buy it. Okay, so Drupal. Is anybody here who doesn't know the architecture of Drupal? Ah, nobody. Ah, the guy there. So I'm allowed to just give you a brief overview of Drupal. Drupal, just to put theming into perspective, Drupal is, as you all know, except hello you, is as a core with contributed modules on top of it. Both of them communicate the core with the modules and the modules with the core through well-defined APIs, the hooks, as they are called in Drupal speak. And using core services and using the modules is the theme system, which is basically just directories in a certain file structure where you have all your markup files. And there are several contributed themes when you download Drupal, but you can also, of course, write your own themes. And that is the way you actually create your Drupal site. You start, depends on how you commence building your site. Either come from the design side, then you will probably start with a Photoshop file and then make markup from it, and then you start on the theme side. Or you start from maybe existing content, migrate that to Drupal, and then see that it gets properly displayed through a theme. Either way, you have to develop a theme at one point in your project. And Drupal theming is a very clever concept, especially when you look at other content management systems, which don't have that, basically. When you look at commercial content management systems, you have this distinction between design and content, but you hardly ever have a distinction between design, functionality, and content. So this threefolded space is hardly ever there. And Drupal does a very nice job in separating the content that you manage somewhere, the functionality that Drupal has an awful lot of, plus the actual design. And it has this distinction in three different layers, really, which makes it a very nice system, not just for building websites with it, but for using it for all kinds of things. People have asked me for maintaining their mergers and acquisitions, for example, in Drupal by using the content construction kit as a modeling layer. And so Drupal is used for quite a lot of applications that not directly come to mind when you look at a content management system. If you want to look at Drupal sites, you all probably know these two URLs. They give showcases of very nice and unexpectedly being Drupal sites. So it's very well worth looking at these URLs to get ideas what can be done in theming in Drupal for sites that should not immediately look like Drupal sites. So really, what is a theme in Drupal? When you install the software, you when you poke around a bit, you probably in the administrative interface very quickly find the place where you can fiddle around with themes and actually select a different theme, adjust settings in the theme, and you very quickly, maybe even before you have your first Drupal installation, look at the theme galleries that are there on the Drupal project site. Maybe I managed to switch to my local installation here. Sadly, it's a bit difficult to edit this. Let me see. I have a local installation here, which I just briefly want to show. Let's see if I can show you the places where you actually maintain your themes. So this is just a vanilla Drupal 5 installation, and under administer themes, you have the... I have to move that over again. I was so happy that I can immediately see my cursor here.
On the other monitor, where the other display.
This one?
This one.
Nope. Except it doesn't, okay. Well, okay, so this is the way Drupal presents itself once you have it installed. Drupal installation, as you all know, is maybe less than a minute to download the archive, install, run through the web-based installer and have a default installation. And once you have it, you can play around with selecting a different theme, like this very old one, for example, which still is a table-based theme. So I have an administrative theme enabled here. This won't show up immediately, so there it is. So this is the old 4.7 theme. I go back to this Garland again. So this is the way you switch between themes. And when you're not content with what Drupal have, or your customer actually wants a site that looks slightly different than the plain vanilla Drupal site, you go to project. So difficult here. Either of these galleries, and maybe even select your Drupal version to have that have only compatible themes displayed. And well, there you can probably find a good starting point for your own project. Once you have decided on which theme to use and have installed that in your site, there's another very good starting point. I'll show you another one. Very difficult here. That's a theme that is well worth looking at once you've decided to go to develop under Drupal 6, which is very flexible in terms of what areas it has and what configuration options you want. Once you have that theme in your site, there's various things that you can do in the site as an administrator as well as a visitor. So you have you can have a central theme in your site that you enable for all users to see, or you can even have visitors individually choose themes that they want to enable. Never seen that on a site happen, but that's an option too. Within a theme, I go back to this administrative interface. There are certain options that without coding anything you can set up and configure. Let's have another look at this interface. Where am I? Let's get rid of some of these. There. So once you have your theme and want to configure it, there are certain options on this administrative page. The Garland theme has this gizmo here that you can even adjust the colors for it. You'll hardly ever want that in a productive project that users can fiddle around with that, but maybe that's for toying around and demonstrating that Drupal is good use for being flexible as it is. Then there are certain options where you can switch on and off certain features of themes. You can even, you can upload different logo, different FAF icon, various other settings that are on this page and configurable without programming. So nothing fancy here, and nothing definitely, or maybe it's something you need when initially developing your site, but I think once the site is set up, these settings will be there and not changed anymore. Still, when you're not wanting to write code, a thing to modify is actually then once you have your theme selected, placing blocks on a site. And just to briefly show you where that is, site building blocks, that's the standard way of placing contents in the marginal areas of a site. For each of the themes, there's a different set of blocks that you can place on a site, and have this interface here where you can actually place your blocks in the site. This is for a very simple site where there's not much change in different sections and different sub areas of a site where you can have blocks. Each of these blocks may have a URL path which allows it to appear or not appear in certain URL areas on a site, which when you have very many areas on a site, it's rather difficult to it's rather tedious really to put paths here. Something like that you have certain sections on the site and place all the patterns here. There have, however, been projects that use this mechanism. One prominent one is the New York Observer. There is a nice explanation of how they've actually gone about using blocks on a very flexible layout and using this exact mechanism for controlling the switching of on and off of blocks on a site. I'll have the URL in a second. Okay, so this is briefly how you set up your themes, configure them, and what does a theme actually do? I mentioned before that this is rather unique in Drupal that you have a separation not only between content and design, but Drupal has a lot of functionality in core and in contributed modules that goes far beyond just the plain management of content. And so it's a good thing to have a separation between design and function as well. And this is what this theming mechanism is particularly good at. It works by actually outputting everything that the module or the core outputs through a level of indirection through this theme function. So any time a core module or a contributed module or even your own code does some output, it doesn't do that directly, but it rather it calls a theme function, which has as a parameter the type of thing that you want to output, and the core theming mechanism then has a certain number of places to look at where to actually find the output for this particular thing. So, for example, if you want to have different designs or want to override the standard page design of a Drupal site, you would write an override to the theme page function and put your markup in that particular function. So this is the way that one of the very oldest themes that is delivered with Drupal actually works. The Chameleon theme is actually a set of such functions that override the theming functions and provide new PHP functions and directly within the code put the markup for this particular implementation. So if you choose the Chameleon theme in your site, you get a new set of output functions that outputs the Chameleon design. This is good for maximum speed because you directly have the markup in the PHP and don't have to look at different places. But obviously, when you have designers and programmers and the core system being different persons, it's not really the way to go. So this is, if you have just an override of these functions, you still have the output in code. So this is hard for designers to maintain, and it's just not a good thing to have. So this is where theming engines come into play. There is in Drupal actually just one theming engine. There used to be another one, Xtemplate, but this has gone a bit to the side. The one standard theming engine now is PHP Template, which basically is supports as a templating engine just plain PHP code. So everything you do in your template is just PHP. So you can have content pushed into that template by means of variables that get set in these template files, page or for nodes or for blocks or any other template files that you design. Or you can pull content into the template files. So you have both mechanisms, the push of variables from the engine to the template, as well as you can invoke normal services like, for example, menu formatting or external services from your template, because it's just plain PHP, and that's a great advantage for using PHP as a templating system. Themes themselves, that's what they do. They provide functions, they provide files like these and actually override them. The core set is the one that I've listed, page, node, block, and comment, but you can have, for each and everything in Drupal, you can have your own override function, and coming with that also override files. So your theme is a directory with lots of these tuple PHP files. So this is, to summarize, the kinds of themes that you have in Drupal. There is the ones that I've mentioned here, the plain PHP themes, which just provide override functions like Chameleon underscore page directly to output the markup. This is best for raw performance, but always I don't think it's a good choice because it's so bad and tedious to, or badly to maintain. The standard way to do theming is through an engine, the PHP template engine being the standard that is distributed with Drupal. And there is some themes that come with the system. The standard in Drupal 5 is Garland. There's this Blue Marine, which is an older one, which also works with the PHP template engine. And there is new themes coming up for Drupal 6, which are also based on the PHP template engine. There's also an even simpler mechanism for creating themes. You can have one of the base themes and just in a subdirectory provide a style sheet, style.css, and just overwrite the style sheet of the core of the base theme. And just by providing another style sheet, you can create another theme that you can select in the admin interface. There's another thing, a little pet project of mine. that I wanted to sort of bring up here is that it's not only possible to have just one theming engine, the PHP template engine, but you can have other templating engines in PHP. There's definitely Smarty, which I always have a hard time to understand why we need this templating engine. And there is definitely, PHP TAR, which is another templating engine, which has certain advantages. So PHP TAR may be a good choice when you work closely together with designers, but you are not the designer yourself. So there is somebody else who is actually creating the markup, and you are the one to integrate the markup with the Drupal dynamic content. And PHP TAR may be a good choice for that because it helps in two respects. At first, to my understanding, it's much less clutter in the language because it's PHP has these annoyances of all these dollar signs and strange things in the code, and PHP TAR is plain XHTML, so these template files are editable with Dreamweaver, if you may, or whatever other tool you have, and they're validate, so it's easier to maintain a validating markup file, working on the same markup file as your designer that actually does create the markup. So you can have the designers work on these files, and at the same time you, by just adding the attributes to the file, add the dynamic aspects to it. This PHP TAR is a port from a ZOAP templating language. I haven't done benchmarks on that, so I shouldn't say that. But it compiles these language templates files to PHP again. So you need to measure that, of course. But I don't think it's a bad. It's a very big performance hit. On medium size, it's probably very well worth the consideration because it has this advantage on the one side, and maybe even a bigger advantage is that you can have example content in the dynamic template file. So you can have that, all your lorem ipsum text within the dynamic template files, and you can work on the same file. You have the designer creating the complete example file, and you take the same file, have it in a Subversion or CVS repository, and then add the dynamic aspects to it. And I think it's at least worth considering when you're doing a productive projects on Drupal using this template engine. And this is maybe the call for help. I haven't managed actually to port this PHP TAR templating theming engine to Drupal 6 for, maybe I just don't understand what's going on in the new theme.inc file, but I would like to, because I think it's such a good thing to have at least, PHP TAR and probably other theming languages have the same problem. So if somebody's more fluent than I am with the theme.inc file, I need a helping hand for porting that. The PHP template engine is just 20 lines of code, but that's probably because it's the default language. So it's even easier in Drupal 6 than it was in Drupal 5 to create a theming engine. And I really would like to port the TAR language to Drupal, but I failed, at least at my first attempt. So maybe there's somebody else who can give a hand on that one. Anyway, with my examples, I stick with the standard language so that even if you want to start with Drupal 6 and even would like to use PHP TAR, but it's still not there, you can follow my examples. So I have created a little demo site where I wanted to go through several aspects of creating a theme. And the first thing to understand is where a theme actually lives. And Drupal, as in many cases, is rather flexible in finding your themes. There is first the always starting from the setup from the installation directory. There's the core themes that live in the subdirectory themes. Then there is the profile directories where you can have different applications bundled with Drupal. This is probably not very often used. And the usual case is to have your theme in either of these directories. I tend to use the all.all/themes directory hierarchy for placing my themes. That's the place where you put themes that are available across all your multi-site domains. You can always also have themes that are just specific for a certain multi-site site, or you can have a theme that is available for all sites except the few that you have explicitly mentioned. But all themes is probably a good place to put your themes. What is a theme then in detail? Once you have created or decided on the place to put it, a theme comprises of few things. In Drupal 5, it was just, well, the directory, of course, and then a single page.tipple.php file. In Drupal 6, themes also have info files, as you already know them from modules in Drupal 5. So in Drupal 6, you also have to create an info file in the theme directory, and once you have that, the theme is selectable in the administrative interface. In Drupal 5, which I will use here, it's the page.tipple.php file that actually tells Drupal that there is first that there is a theme, and then that it is to be using the PHP template engine.
Is there a listing which, if the variables have changed between the two?
You mean the variables that are pushed into the template file?
And the variables you mentioned here, if they have changed between 5 and 6.
Yeah. Well, I didn't dare to actually list them here because you wouldn't be able to read them, but these are the places where you could look at. There is, I think there are two or three variables that are added in the theme. I may or may not find the place. There is a page on Drupal.org that lists porting modules. So look for porting modules from 5 to 6. There's also the changes for the theming system. But this is the places where you want to look for the actual list for them. I think there are some additions. There are not any omissions to the set of variables. And there's a language variable that is an object now, not just a string as it was before. And I don't recall anything else, but that's probably a prominent one. So our own theme that I want to show you is consists of, well, my first attempts to do it in Drupal 6 added this info file, but then basically it's just a page, a tuple PHP file, a style sheet, and some magic in the template file, in the PHP file that we will have a look at in a minute. First thing that I wanted to show you was a small, well, experiment in a theme that, well, it's not my own invention, it's probably very popular thing to have just to show how to manipulate a theme. And let's have a look at the theme, the example theme that I have, and some of the code that I needed to actually make this happen, to place a horizontal user block on top of the layout. So let me see if I manage to switch on the browser here. First thing is to actually select the theme. The very first thing when you start developing themes is probably you want the administrative site to still work. So you'd rather select an administrative theme here and not use the default. So once you mess up your theme, you'll still have something to an interface to switch back once you've you don't have any content anymore on your site. So I've activated an administrative theme here in the interface, and then I can just activate my little example site here, which for some reason is called FrostCon. It's enabled already. I make it the default and save it. So it's kindly reminds you that you still have the administrative theme displayed and won't see your own theme before going to the front page of your site. And well, I'm not much of a designer, so don't look at the actual design, but it's just for demonstration purposes. So this is how it finally will look like. It has a top-level menu here, and here is actually the the block that I just want to show you now, how to actually do place that here. It looks horrible in that resolution as well. So
let's try to find a terminal.
It's even more difficult than I thought. So make it a bit bigger.
That big. This way, my suit.
Where's my cursor? So. Okay. So this is the place I put my theme,
the directory Frostcon,
and here are the files in there, which I promised. So the very first thing to do is to get a basic markup from somewhere. So well, really with modern CSS stylesheet based layout, that may be that much of a problem, because well, there's not much in it really. So you may even ask whether it's worth looking at different theming engines, because there's really so little consideration in that basic markup file. It's just what I've done is I copied a basic HTML layout to this directory and added all the variables in there. You can also start from the standard page.tipple.php in the engines directory and go from there. Or you can use either of the public or open source layout directories on the web and start from one of these layouts. So what is really in there in this page file is just standard stuff in the header, some variables here that Drupal will put in here, and then there's the banner area, a container with some levels here for doing the central layout, and stuff here for the content area, and then the footer. So this is pretty much all of the standard themes that you nowadays come across, which more or less look like this layout, because it's just the outer frame, and you just decide whether you want a central, a centered layout, or a left or right, whatever bound theme, and this is the markup for that. The actual how you go about to actually move the login block from where it's usually is here to up there is by creating an override of the block from there. The first thing you have to do is to actually let's log in here again. Is to move the block to a different region, the login block. So I just show you there how this is done. You go to the block area, and then the user login and navigation blocks are no longer in the left area where they used to be, but rather they're now in the header region for placing them up there. There's a little problem here that the navigation also has to be there for logged in users, so I had to separate the all the nitty-gritty administrative menu entries into a separate menu here and put them in a different block, so that they don't, well, because simply they wouldn't fit in here. For a logged in user, you just want very few entries here. So I created a new menu here, which has all the administrative entries still on the left side. I just wanted to have the user related stuff up here. So this is why there's another menu in the left side, but which has all the menu entries from the navigation menu that I wouldn't need. So this is the first step that you do. Then the next step is to actually create a style sheet that does the horizontal layout. And this is done by just adding things here in the style.css. You might wonder why I have PHP constructs in here. This is a little trick. that I use for, well, not for having centralized information or for colors and stuff. I make the style.css file a PHP file by just forcing the type to PHP in this htaccess file so that I can use PHP constructs in the style sheet. So that helps me add all the colors at the top and then use the variables at different places in the style sheet here. So and then let's look at the user stuff for this actually for this block. This is how, well, this is just ordinary style sheet magic. There are some headers that I just hide, and then there is just little.
Actually, the hiding of header is no longer necessary, I think.
Is it not? Why is that? Because it's already hidden in the standard
site. You can enter none into the block configuration.
Ah.
So it disappears. Mm-hmm. A head dump is hiding in 4.7, but in 5.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. All right. So what you put there, none?
The in the block configuration, you can enter the header.
Ah, yeah,
so
I know.
Modify the title
yeah.
of the block.
Yeah.
And if you enter none, it disappears.
Ah, okay. So you wouldn't even need that one here.
Yeah.
So the real thing is to display everything nicely in line and some more things to make it not look that ugly. And so this is basically the styling. You can imagine how this is made horizontally. And the last thing is to get rid of the description fields that are in the usual user login block, and you can of course just hide them as I've done here, or there's another way of manipulating these forms that I wanted to show you is by creating little little form override template functions. And this one is a typical template function. So the template.php file in a theme is the place to place these template override functions. A suggestion for naming them, you could either use the name them as frostcon underscore user underscore login, or if you want to share the code between different themes, you can also use the name of the theming engine for these override theme override functions. And this is the way I got rid of the descriptions. I basically I looked in the user module, found out how this this form was called, and all forms actually call theming functions as well for doing their output. And this theme function gets the whole form every definition. So I just did a var dump on what actually comes out of or what gets passed to this function, and then you just find the description pieces and set them to the empty string. And then the last thing that will probably appear often when you don't want the override functions, but you rather want an override file, a tuple.php file, you have to, in Drupal 5, call the PHP template underscore callback with the name of the template file and the parameters that you want to pass that. And the actual function that plays this form then is in the user dash login dot tuple.php file, which well, actually just renders the form in this case. There it is. So this is the one liner that actually renders the form from the definition. So this is maybe not a typical file, a typical case for a markup file, but in this case it's just rendering the form from the data structure that defines it. In Drupal 6, the definition of these template files is even easier. Let me see if I find that. I have a Drupal 6 installation here. Sites or themes, Roscon. There you just declare these files, you have this new theme hook where you actually declare overwriting files that you want to have, and you don't have to call this underscore callback functions as you have to do in Drupal 5. So that gets even easier in Drupal 6 to have these files. All right, so this was this little example on how to actually place the do several things, actually work with a block placement, do some magic in the style sheet, and then use the theme override function in this particular case for a form theme function. And this is a very nice thing in Drupal. You can really manipulate even the forms that the system uses by means of theme override functions. So you just have to get a hold of the form ID to manipulate the forms in theme override functions. See. So this was just a small experiment to get a feel for how these themes work. Let's turn back to flexible layouts, really. How do you do that? When you have a site and you want a single page layout for the front page, and maybe you have sections in your site, sports, science, whatever, that should look slightly different. Either have just different color codes or have completely different layout. The way, the built-in way in Drupal is that you have, that the theme engine already checks different locations for the tuple.php files. So whenever you have a theme override that calls for the page that is to be displayed, it also, for this URL, for example, when you want to display a particular node, it checks these places for template files. So you can imagine you can have, and you probably want some include files somewhere else, and then have the distinction between the different cases in either of these files. So when you it starts with the most specific one, and then works its way down to the most general one without taking the numerals to the next level. So the one is dropped at some place. There is a certain specific place for the front page, which may get formatted differently in this page front tuple.php. So this is nice for the internal URLs, but you usually have your sections distinguished by path aliases. For example, you want the topic, sports, football, whatever, and you want these external aliases paths to determine your theming. And unfortunately, this mechanism uses the internal URLs, the unaliased ones. And so to make this happen for this example about history early, and you want really this URL to determine your theme files, you have to put this or something like this into your template PHP file to actually take into account the aliased paths. And well, this just gets the aliased path from the internal system URL and then adds suggestive templates for the theme engine. So this is actually a central place to add variables to your templates, this underscore variables hook. This is basically the way you would go ahead if you have sections and each section wants a different layout and you're content with putting everything in the file system, in the page files. We have a current project which is a bit more demanding, which actually has not just different sections, but each section looks different in the content area. So it has different blocks in the content area, and the editorial team wants to influence the layout on a case-by-case basis. So they didn't want to code PHP files for each of their layouts, but rather want to have somehow access to the layout through the user interface. And there's this approach that I just briefly addressed by using these blocks and having lots and lots of these regular expressions for blocks where you determine on which page which blocks displays, which is certainly a viable approach, especially if your theme has more than the standard regions, the header, the left and the right sidebar, and maybe the content area. But if the content area is contains more regions, that you have more flexibility for placing your blocks, that is certainly a viable way to do it. And if you add some custom code that actually enters the regular expressions for the blocks dated on in a data-driven way, that is probably a good way for setting up a site. But there is a different approach, which I fancy even more. And I explain how I thought this problem could be solved. I set off to use the CCK for solving that. You may be aware that the CCK content construction kit is rather flexible as a modeling layer. So you can have arbitrarily, not arbitrarily complex, but complex enough type definitions for your content. And I thought of abusing this system for storing my page layout. So I wanted to define a content type page and a content type block, have them linked together with node references, and by that means actually store my my layout in the content database, have them versioned, and have this way have editors give editor access to the dynamic content. This would certainly have been viable. I would have had content objects pages, have blocks in that, and within the blocks would have placed views, and by that would have been able to place lists of content in these blocks. But there is an even more elegant way to do that, and you should definitely have a look at this sort of ingenious module, which gives the utmost possible flexibility in defining layers, and even gives that possibility to your administrative and editing team. That is this panel modules by Earl Miles, who has actually also done the views module. Should I click on that URL? Well, you can do it yourself. It's just project panels, and it's going through the second version now. You probably want to look at the alpha 8 of the second version of the panels modules, and this is what I've installed here. The panels module actually has three variants of content. You can have pages, you can have paneled nodes, and you can have, this is new in this latest alpha version, mini panels, which are bound to replace the blocks completely. So, I will only look at pages here in my example. The downside of the panels module is that it does not work for Drupal 6 yet. So, but I think it's bound to be ported quickly. So, it's definitely worth a look at. So, for a site like a site that might want to use that module. For a site like this, where you have, which is basically an online magazine, which has lots of resource and a very hierarchical structure, but content is supposed to be reused at different places. So there is, sports articles are here and are on the front page as well. There is a need for a very flexible mechanism for laying out this middle column here. This current release is really handcrafted, as they've told me. So this every area, every section looks completely different here. But they want to retain this flexibility even in the future. And so the big question is how to do that in Drupal.
how to have this central area flexibly laid out. And the idea is now to use this panels module for giving that flexibility to the editing team. And I'll briefly show you what is needed for actually achieving that. So the one thing that you need is a flexible layout, a flexible way of doing layouts, but there's more for such a complex site. The way the editors work there is that they have resource topic areas where people write articles, and there's a rather deep hierarchy of resource of topics that they want to influence the navigation points. So there's some necessity for actually combining the topics with the navigation, and typically deep topical hierarchies in Drupal you do with taxonomy module, and there's as you might be aware, there's this taxonomy menu module that actually joins the taxonomy with the menu and actually creates menu entries for taxonomy terms. But the taxonomy menu module is rather, it works quite nicely, but it is sort of a hack because it has to work around a non-feature in Drupal 5, which I asked before, is now in Drupal 6, where you can actually enter the hierarchy of your menu terms explicitly. In Drupal 5, there's a need for a little kernel patch in this menu find parents function that actually allows you to do that, to explicitly put the hierarchy of your menu entries explicitly enter that into the menu. So the taxonomy menu doesn't rely on any patch of the core. It rather creates this hierarchy of terms in the URLs. So it creates URLs of the form taxonomy underscore menu slash 3 for the vocabulary, slash 1, slash 2, slash 3 for the levels of hierarchy in your taxonomy. That's the way it works for Drupal 5 without expecting a patch to the core file. But I wanted to combine the taxonomy plus menu plus the panel modules, and wanted to have the taxonomy term being usable as a parameter for the views I wanted to embed in the panels. So I wanted to have URLs of slash topic slash 123 for just the leaf term in the taxonomy hierarchy. So I applied these little patch that I found somewhere on Drupal.org to menuing, so I was able to explicitly enter hierarchy into the menu system, and rewrote the taxonomy menu module to then give me this kind of URL slash topic slash 123 for just the leaf term. The second thing that the taxonomy menu module does is it actually provides a page callback. So it also does the page layout for you, which is basically a good idea when you just want to have your content listed for this particular taxonomy term. But I wanted to show a panel page instead of this listing. So I had to get rid of this page callback and rather have the panel module do the displaying of the page, so that the panel module does show the panel and provides the taxonomy term as a parameter to the embedded views. And this is really what sort of gave me the raw material for coding my own module for doing that. So I used the idea from the taxonomy menu. I used the association of a taxonomy term with a piece of content. In this case, it's not a node, it's a panel page, and I had to rely on this core hack to menu ink for being able to explicitly enter hierarchy into the menu. Then there's little goodies for
actually maintaining deep hierarchies, which is a bit tedious in the standard way that Drupal does it in the user interface. And well, the result really is, when you look at, not this side yet, unfortunately, but my ugly mock-up here, is that I have a hierarchy of taxonomy terms in this vocabulary here. I just copied the Froscon hierarchy. So these are my topics that I want to show on the site. And I have a little module that allows me to, well, that basically took all the ideas from taxonomy menu, taxonomy azog, and plus this core patch that was needed, and some additional configuration options. Where is it here? And there's a little setup for that. Called it, give it some name. And well, you choose your, this is really what configures the association of taxonomy terms with menu entries. You choose the vocabulary, you choose the top level term. The idea is to have multiple sites fed from a single topic hierarchy, and choose a top level term that is the entries for the menu give level of the depth for the menu, because on the final page there is supposed to be drop down menu, so you have all the menu levels already in place and not just on the active path. So I needed to retrieve more menu levels here, and I have to configure that somewhere and determine where to place these this menu. So and then actually the second thing is to associate topic or panel pages to taxonomy terms, and here's the default for that. And for each of the taxonomy terms, then you can override which page is bound to this particular term. So by this means, I have a single taxonomy or a single panel page that does the default display for a site, and then for each of these terms, I can set a different panel page for displaying this particular term in the hierarchy. And the net result is that, well, this module automatically, just as taxonomy menu did it, create the menu hierarchy. Where is it? Based on this taxonomy hierarchy. So here we go. So this is the navigation menu, and primary links, that is where the navigation got placed, from this level on downwards. And then you can do whatever you want with placing this menu. Here is just placed in the primary links menu, and well, on my default or on my little theme here, it's I got the primary links, and I have the second links arbitrarily placed here. So this is the way it does. So this page looks a bit ugly because it's managed by the panels, and I haven't shown you how this module actually does panel management. So this is a single panel here. There's another one here on the left. There's another one here on the right. There's some standard blocks here on the right. And this is all the middle piece, the normal content area, is managed by the panel module. And I just show you how this particular panel page is set up. Let's see. Have I got it? Site building. Oh, they disappeared. Strange. Ah, there. So this is the way the panel module allows you to configure your panel pages. You have some general settings. You can choose a layout. There are some layout options already delivered with this module, and you can very easily add your own layout options. Put a little little snapshot here of your layout, and then it's added here just as well. So this is the place to put your custom layouts in this place. And then you choose of these. And once you've chosen one, you go to the content area. And then you have this very nice interface for actually moving around content on your final site. And then, so you have these panels. You have content in here, multiple ones in each of these panels, get parameterized from the content just as you would in view parameterization. Difficult word. So you have all the flexibility of having views with all their options. You can still use the URL to control which view and which content gets displayed. And this way you can have very flexible layout and even and even have that go away and even have that controllable by editors. There's I just briefly give you an idea why I mentioned these other two modules, which may or may not be a good thing to install when you have deep topical hierarchies. There's this taxonomy batch operations module, which gives you a very easy way to manipulate the weights of terms in a hierarchy by promoting the weight field already to this listing, so you don't have to enter all these terms individually. And you can add multiple terms, so that makes it a bit easier to enter deep hierarchies in this field. Then there is a little other thing, some jQuery magic. I really got in love with jQuery recently. And there's a little widget we implemented for entering the terms, the deep hierarchy. When you have multiple selects, it gets a bit difficult to enter here. And the editor team got used to just clicking the various topics that they had. And we sort of emulated that by just manipulating the form entry. The font is too big. The form entry that that made this that showed the taxonomy terms by adding a little bit of jQuery magic here. So this is all possible by overwriting just forms in your code. So the idea here again is to have multiple sites and be able to choose from either topics here. So this is underneath, it's just a plain old taxonomy term tree that used to give you just a select box with hundreds of terms, and this way it's a bit easier to navigate it.
Is that available anymore?
It's going to be, definitely.
Do you have a name for it already?
No, this one is, no, it doesn't have a name yet, no. So all these modules are definitely going to be available. The taxonomy menu term association thingy will get placed somewhere. And this one is a small thing, but I think it's very useful. And well, I'll post it somewhere in the next days. All right. So when I get my cursor back, there it is. Told you everything there already. So this is the two things that we had to revisit: the taxonomy menu, which is nice and works nicely when you have hierarchical URLs, but we wanted single-level URLs, which we can then have an alias for, which is the ultimate goal of having URLs like sports/football/blah-blah in the site. And this is only possible if you have a single level of URL that you can then have an alias for, plus the that's this slide, sorry. Plus the way that this kind of URL makes it much more easy obviously to pass the ID as a parameter to the embedded views there. The other thing that was needed was to get rid of this standard list of nodes in a term page, but rather have the panel page display display the views, and then the embedded views actually take care of selecting the content. And this needed, there was some coding needed, so but I'll post this as a module. And well, Drupal, as a conclusion, Drupal is definitely worth looking at when you have complex layouts, but as opposed to some marketing information you may have gotten somewhere, at some point it really needs some coding, and I think it'll be the case in Drupal 6 as well. But the module is not very complex. It just took two or three iterations to sort of get it to that level and find the right hooks. And this is always the sort of the thing where you do everything yourself, or have a very low-level system, or have something like Drupal, which gives you so much more flexibility and functionality. But you have to sort of dive a bit more down and actually find the places to add. I'm not sure if this is the ultimate way of doing hierarchical sites with Drupal and having flexible layouts, but at least I think it's a way to do it. And I'm very much looking forward to port this to Drupal 6. And yeah, and with that, maybe that's really a competition to Typo3 or something, doing hierarchical sites with Drupal. So this is really everything I wanted to tell you about how to do these layout things. I hope it was not too boring in the initial sections. What I think the ultimate way of doing that is, well, have a look at these modules. I think they are worth looking at. Questions? All right. Yeah.
You mentioned comparing the theme engines, the original PHP engine, has some bit more performance. Is this really recognizable, a difference in performance?
I haven't done any benchmarking yet. We used, I must confess, we used PHP TAL in a different project with a different content management system, and 6CMS that was. And there it was, well, the flexibility you gain by having the designers being able to place their example content, and the cleanliness of the templates that you gain was, I think, much worth the effort for middle-scale pages. I haven't done awfully big pages and haven't done any benchmarking yet, but, well, it's at least not, it's not noticeable on the small to medium sites. And that was sputnik.de, so it's a, well, it's a rather popular site. I don't know how many page impressions I have, but it's a rather popular site, and it was not noticeable there. So I guess it's well worth trying it. All right then. So I think we're through. Thank you.
If you've got a website, you need a system to manage your content, Drupal. If you want to build a web application, you've got to download Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal. If you've got a website, you need a system to manage your content, Drupal. If you want to build a web application, you've got to download Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal. Drupal, 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 Drupal.